For members only, Golf Smarter number 366, published on January 15, 2013.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
The Dan Plan, 10,000 hours of deliberate practice.
This is Golf Smarter.
Welcome to the Golf Smarter podcast, Dan Plan.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. You really are Dan, but you're going by Dan Plan, the Dan Plan, and people are calling you Plan?
Yeah, people, it's just gotten to that point. People around town, all my golfing buddies just call me Plan. I guess everybody gets a nickname somehow or another, and mine's, either Plan or The Plan. I played in a tournament a couple weeks ago where they gave you carts and they wrote your name on the front of the cart. And I played with my buddy Derek Rachinski. So his said Derek R, and mine just said the DP. So pretty much, even in tournaments, I'm known as the Dan Plan.
Now you're DP.
Yeah, DP, yeah.
Okay, help us out. What is the Dan Plan?
Well, the Dan Plan is a test in human potential, human possibility, and just basically what is available and what is possible in life if you're willing to put in 10,000 hours of deliberate practice. That's based on Dr. K. Anders Ericsson's theory and research that pretty much everybody across the board, the one commonality they have before they become super successful is that they put in 10,000 hours of what he calls deliberate practice. So I'm testing that theory, that research, in the field of golf.
Why?
Well, you know, I was working the first 30 years of my life, like how we all do, and I was kind of...
Wait. You're not much older than that.
Oh, yeah, I'm 33 now. So
okay, so you've been working like 12, 13 years. Don't give me this 30 years of working business. I've been working 30 years. I've been working 30 years.
I got to 30 years old.
Okay, fine.
Graduated. I worked through high school, worked through college, worked after. You know how, like,
you're a good boy.
You do when you need to pay bills and all that.
Yeah, of course.
And I basically got to a point where I was, ready to start something new in life. And one thing, everybody around me, they had always been kind of limited in this idea that we're certain types of people, like we're either a math person or a creative person or an athletic person, or everybody kind of pigeonholes themselves into a type. And I never really liked that. I never agreed with that idea. Long story short, I wanted to do something to prove what was possible by completely transforming into an absolutely new field. Athletics and golf is something I had never done in the first 30 years of my life.
Do you happen to have children?
I do not. My girlfriend, who I live with, has two. So we have them part-time. We have them half. Every other week we have two.
All right. So you're used to little kids, because I'm going to approach this. Again, I'm just going to go, why? Okay, so you told me that, gave me that. But why you? Why golf? Why? Yeah, why? I still don't get it.
Yeah. Well, it's really, because I basically saved up some money. This goes back to the backstory.
Okay. And That's what I want.
What's that?
I said that's what I want. I want the backstory. I want to know what brought you to this point. Then we'll get into how you're doing.
Yeah, I basically had saved up some money and I was ready for something new in life. And I was thinking about either with the money I'd saved, either traveling the world for, a couple of years, or going back to grad school, or basically, starting a business or doing a whole, variety of different things. But I realized that pretty much no matter what I did, it would cost all the money that I had, take X amount of years, and the end result would be that I would just need to get another job. So I figured that with that amount of money and that amount of time, and the end result is I need to get a job, I can pretty much do anything in life. And I wanted to kind of do some personal exploration, in a sense. I wanted to see what was possible if I really gave my all to something. And I had been reading and kind of finding some different research and came across Anders Ericsson's research about the 10,000 hours. And I really liked it. I thought that, it made sense to me. And I figured that through doing this and through a complete transformation and blogging the entire experience, that I could really kind of show people what was possible if you were just willing to, you know, have the passion and put in the hard work. I thought of a ton of different avenues to go down, and golfing just kind of, it just fit perfectly because it was something I'd never done before. It was a mix of athletic and mental. It was, you know, theoretically possible, although, you know, seemingly impossible for somebody at 30 years old to make a PGA Tour. It just fit for a number of reasons. So I just went for it.
Fascinating. So were you with this girlfriend at the time that you decided to embark on this quest?
No.
So you were by yourself and you were thinking, gee, what am I going to do now? I want to leave the job. You had a full-time job?
Doing commercial photography. I worked for I did my own thing. I kind of ran my own little commercial photography business. And then I also shot for in the marketing company or marketing department of a larger company.
Oh, okay. So you had a job, you were doing freelance, you were unsatisfied at the young age, ripe age of 30 years old. It's like, I need something, I want something else. Where did the Anders Ericsson research fall into that? Did you just discover it around that time and said, you know what, I need to make a move? Or you were saying, you know, I need to make a move, and then started, you know, your eyes were open and you stumbled across Anders Ericsson.
You know, actually, so in June of 2009, I was on a road trip and I visited my brother in Omaha, Nebraska, and we played a par 3 golf course, 9 holes. And that was probably the fifth time I'd ever played a par 3 in 9 hole course. And I'd never in my life played a real course or went to a driving range or anything like that. And afterwards, after this par 3 9 hole where I shot, I think, like, 85, as any non-golfer would do, managed to lose like a dozen golf balls in a course that was, you know, 2,000 yards with no water. I don't know how you do that.
Now you look back and go, how did I do that?
I know. It's amazing things can happen when you have no clue what you're doing.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, so
isn't being blind and stupid a wonderful thing sometimes?
Yeah. I mean, you could lose a golf ball in a parking lot if you tried hard enough. So afterwards, we were talking about potential and just ability and whether or not it would be possible for somebody to start at that age, you know, 30 or whatever, 25 or 35, and how far you could go. And I think a ton of people have had this debate, but the thing is, you know, we're talking about, and I was just thinking, well, it's great to have this debate, but nobody will ever know because nobody will ever do it. So then it just kind of dawned on me that day. I was like, well, why don't I just do that? Why don't I just see, you know, what is possible if you just go completely after something? You know, who's to say that we can become a PGA Tour player? Who's to say that we couldn't, you know, become the top 0.001% in anything, if it's architecture or medicine or golf or music, you know, because all the studies have been done on children and how long it takes for them to become masters. But, I mean, what about a 30-year-old's brain? I mean, isn't there enough plasticity remaining to build it and grow and get to that top 0.001%? So, you know, I just decided at that point to go for it. And then when I finished the road trip and went back to work, I started telling friends at work. And then they started bringing me in literature. And I read a few books. And that's how I found Dr. K. Anders Ericsson. And basically reached out to him and called him. And we started chatting and we started developing a plan. And, you know, I found my first golf coach, and then I quit my job on April 5th of 2010. And the next day, or, you know, a couple of days later, I, you know, started putting.
That's right. You started with putting?
Yeah. We decided to work away from the hole. So I started with 1 foot putts for the first 2 days, then moved to 3 foot. And as soon as I got to a specific ability at that distance, I would move further back. So I actually only had a putter for the first 5 months of the project.
Wow.
Yeah. So from April till, 5 months later, whatever that is, September, October, I only had a putter. And then I kind of moved off the green for the first time and got a pitching wedge and started chipping. And then, for basically the next few months, I slowly moved back to 10 yards off the green, 20 yards, 50 yards. And the whole time, of course, still practicing all the distances from 1 foot to, 20-foot putts and everything. And then moved back, and everything was a par three once I moved off the green. So I was playing, 9-hole par three courses from 50 yards, and then from 70 yards, and then 80. And then eventually that pitching wedge, I also got an 8-iron and started playing from 150 yards, and then got a 6-iron. And then a year and a half into it, November 15th of 2011, actually swung the driver for the first time. And then January 1st of this year, I got my first full set of clubs and have been playing full rounds of the full set since the beginning of 2012.
And when you started with the putter, were you learning the swing at the same time, or were you just focused on your putting?
I was only putting.
Did you get to start... understanding or start learning about a golf swing?
The first time I had a full swing lesson was in mid-March of 2011. So it was almost a year. Yeah, it's almost a year after I started putting and chipping. I mean, it's literally 5 months of only putting with only a putter. And then I only had one other club. I didn't even have golf clubs. So that's the only, to me, golf was just a putter. And then it was just a putter and a 56 and a pitching wedge. And so, for the first year, and at that point, I still only had a pitching wedge. So the first year, I only had those three clubs, a pitching wedge, a 56 degree, and a putter.
Are you generally a patient person?
Not really, but...
How in the hell do you do 5 months and say, really, this is it? This is all I have to learn?
Yeah. Well, for me, that was golf. That was my task. It would be a lot harder now that I actually play the game and know... the entire game.
Yeah.
It was hard for me to say, okay, I'm only going to putt for the next 5 months because I would really want to hit a ball. But at the time, I never hit a ball. I'd never been on a range. I didn't really know any difference. So it was pretty easy to, just stick with solely putting for that period of time.
Did you ever go to a miniature golf course during that time?
No.
How did you select an instructor?
Through a friend of a friend, I got connected with this one guy, and I just went with the first guy that I found.
And how's that been going? You're still with him?
No, I switched coaches.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, recently. It went pretty well. There was a bit of a spatial difference. His course that he teaches out of and my home course are about 30 miles apart. And then scheduling, I don't know how, but I end up having a busy schedule, even though, in theory, I'm just golfing and practicing, 8 hours a day.
And that's your current schedule, is you're practicing or playing for 8 hours, six, 7 days a week?
My goal is to get 6 hours of deliberate practice in 6 days a week. So a round only counts as about 2 hours of practice because a lot of that time is just wandering.
Okay.
And deliberate practice, what it entails is it's focused effort, like literally doing the task, and you have to be working on your weaknesses. So it's not just out on the range beating balls. It's hitting a draw if that's a shot that you're not being able to pull off, or, making sure you can hit, it's just like always making sure you're working on the weakest part of your game. And that's, Anders Ericsson, I talked about that. There's a difference between practice and deliberate practice. So I try to get in 6 hours of that every day, 6 days a week, and take one day off just to let the back and the muscles kind of build and heal. And I, if I count you know, if I play like four rounds a week and get the practice in, some days I could be out in the course from, you know, 8 a.m. till 6 p.m. And it's with breaks and everything, it's only 6 hours of practice.
How many goals and what types of goals have you set for yourself? And then I'll kind of let you answer that before I dig deeper into what I'm thinking on that.
I actually have a lot of goals, and I set a lot of goals. I work with a guy who his kind of job is he works in the corporate level to implement and help companies kind of follow through and reach goals. Mm-hmm. And we do 10 at a time. That's his thing. It's like the power of 10. We set 10 goals and they're both, you know, short term all the way to the 10,000 hour. So, you know, say that my main goal is to have a scoring average of 69, by 10,000 hours. Then, you know, we break it down into every 100 hour from now till then. And we, you know, work on different ways and different, you know, every different aspect in order to hit each of those 100 hour goals till the 10,000 hours. And the goals, you know, most of them are actually golf, you know, it's physical conditioning. It's different golf putting. It's all, you know, chipping drives, greens regulations, all that kind of stuff. But we also have financial goals for me to, you know, obtain a sponsor and figure out how to, you know, mentally not break down and physically not break down. And so, I mean, there's a kind of a goal for everything.
Mm. And you have them in 100 hour increments. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Like right now, the goals that I'm working on are the 4,000 hour goals. And I'm going to hit 3,500 hours today. So then I have to, you know, have a checkup, make sure I've hit all my 3,500 hour goals, then figure out what are the goals for the 3,600 hours and then work towards them. So you're not just kind of out there spinning your wheels, you know, you're like, okay, well, I have to get my putts per green regulation from 2.1 down to 2. So I need to, you know, focus on getting my lag putts really close and always, you know, never three putting. And you know, so you can just break it down and think of it in small increments.
Phenomenal. So what are your mental goals?
Mental goals.
That's kind of, you don't. I'm sure when you signed up to play golf, you didn't realize how deep that would get.
Yeah, for sure. You know, mental goals change over time because you kind of accomplish certain things and then it's time to move on. But, you know, a recent one was my goal was to get to a point where my playing partner couldn't tell if I was having a good or bad round. So anytime I had an outburst, I would actually, you know, I don't throw clubs or something, but, you know, if I just like obviously look like I was bummed out or way too excited about something, then I would put a mark on my scorecard and just kind of be aware of it and acknowledge it. And after time of just only acknowledging it, it actually lessens and you get to a point where you're kind of in, you know, a more, steady, even keel kind of mood throughout a round.
Mm-hmm. I saw on your blog that you've been reading Zen Golf by Dr. Joe Parent.
Yeah, I actually liked it.
It was monumental for me.
Oh, was it? Yeah. You know, a lot of it was stuff that I've read other places and that people, you know, just have told me and we've talked about. But, you know, there's just like a lot of little nuggets of gold in there.
Right, right.
And I would definitely recommend it. It's you could read it in a night, or you could read it in like a year. Mm-hmm. For me, I read it really slow. Every day, I just read a couple pages and pick up something that was like, oh, that makes sense. I'm going to go and implement that. So it took me a long time to read, but you know, I learned a lot and picked up a lot from it.
Yeah, well, Dr. Joe is. It was the motivator for me, and that's what started the podcast. He was guest number one. Episode number one of Golf Smarter was with Dr. Joseph Parent.
And, oh, nice.
And he has been on the show, I want to say at least 5 or 6 times, and probably more. Plus, I've even been down to Ojai and played with him.
Oh, I would love to do that. This maybe this winter.
I'd be happy to introduce you to.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to. I think that with the project, there's a lot that...
I think he'd be fascinated by what you're doing.
Yeah, and I think he could help me instrumentally, and you know, yes. It's I could help spread his word, although he doesn't need help. He's doing a great job on his own.
Yeah, he's, well, it is ranked as the most, what is it, the most popular golf book, nonfiction golf book in history. So that's, yeah, a lot of people know about him.
Yeah.
he's good. His content is very good.
Yeah.
What about your, okay, we talked about your golf goals. We talked about some of your mental goals, obtaining a sponsor, very interesting. What about your exposure goals? Where did the website, the Facebook, the whole social media element fall into your original plan, and how has it evolved?
You know, I mean, originally I just wanted to you know, share the experience and hopefully inspire people to follow their dreams and find their dreams. I mean, that's the entire point of the project is really just to inspire people. You know, I want to, just by demonstrating how far I can go, like just solely by working, I would love for people to see that it's possible. You don't have to quit your job and dedicate yourself 100% of the time. You can, you know, put in 15 minutes of deliberate practice a day, or, you know, in an hour a day, just in 10-minute increments, you know, in the morning, afternoon, just throughout the day. And then you can really see results. You know, I see results every 100 hours, every 10 hours, yeah, every week. So just by kind of sharing the experience, I was hoping to show people that, you know, just because you might have never, you know, played chess by the time you're 35, it doesn't mean that you can't get really good at it and have a great time. You know, you don't have to be the number one in the world to enjoy yourself. I mean, I go out now and as a single digit handicapper golfer, I mean, I can have a really good time, and just it's such an enriching experience to be able to go out there and do something well, you know, a majority of the time. So I mean, that was the whole point of doing the social media and the website, was just to help share the experience. And I, you know, I haven't gotten any sponsors, or I haven't really pursued sponsorship, because I didn't want this to come off as, you know, a corporation brings you the damn plan. It's so much better just being one person, because it keeps it true and you know, to its roots, that anything is possible by yourself. You don't need, you know, a $200 million 10-year contract to improve in something.
Well, the way I found out about you was one of the Golf Smarter listeners, Pat Helmers out of Plano, Illinois, wrote to me and said that he read an interesting article about you in the Chicago Tribune. And at that point, you were at around a 2,000-hour accomplishment. You were a 6 handicap by 2,000 hours. Where are you now at 3,500 hours?
Oh, that, well, actually, that Chicago Tribune article was in just this October.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, I was like at 30. That's basically where I am now. It's like at 3,400 hours. So,
oh, okay.
It was during the Chicago Ideas Week, which I think was October 7th or 8th.
Yeah, well, I got the email on October 12th. So he says, I think it's interesting on how he learned the game from cup to tee, starting with putting. And he thought, wow, this would be really interesting to hear on Golf Smarter. So again, Pat, thank you very much for the suggestion. And as I always request, if you have any suggestions about guests, I listen to these things. And if I find the story interesting, I'll pursue it. And Dan, you were definitely an interesting story.
I appreciate it.
Are you having fun? I mean, you know, you're into 3,500 hours now of doing this, and you're very, you know, deliberate practice here. Focus on all these little nuance things, getting into the nuance. Is this fun?
Yeah. I mean, this is the most amazing and enriching experience I could ever imagine. You know, it took about a year and a half, but I finally, you know, I started dreaming about golf, and now I dream about golf almost every night. You know, it's what I think.
Welcome to our world, buddy.
Yeah, I know. The bad thing is when you have an off round, you have those dreams where you like swing, you just can't hit the ball.
Yes. Yeah,
but when you have a good round, you have the dreams where, you know, everything's just fluid. Yeah, exactly. You're just dropping in eagles from the fairway all day, You're shooting a Kim Jong Il 34 on a par in 18 holes of golf.
Oh, have you had that dream yet where you hit it and it's just going hard right, hits the tree, bounces off the tree, rolls into the cup?
That's only me. Where it just like skips over the water all the way to the green and rolls to like 3 inches.
Vijay Singh did that. Did you ever
see
the video of him on the par three where he skipped the ball across the water and got the hole in one.
That's incredible.
At the Masters.
Yeah, I'm sure it's crazy. But yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I love it. You know, it's where I want to be, every day. And there's just nothing like it. I mean, and the more work I put in, the more I get out of it. So it just fuels itself. And, you know, it's just more and more fire every day to improve.
What happens at 10,001?
You know, I mean, 10,000 is just, it's not really like a cutoff period. That's just the point where, you know, the average, like of what they say it takes to become great. So, you know, I'm just going to keep going.
Well, with any plan, with especially any business plan, you need an exit strategy. What is the point that you say, gee, you know what? This is harder than I thought. I guess, you know, my goal of average score of 69, it takes a lifetime. And that, yeah, there's the realization that on any given day, I can go 10 strokes in either direction. I'm sorry to be a spoil sport here and bursting your bubble, but at what point do you go, oh, I guess not all of this is going to be possible? Am I sounding like a curmudgeon dad?
It's not going to work, son. Why try anything if you already have a defeatist attitude? I mean, there's not really a point in thinking that way unless you are just ready to settle for average.
All right, so then be lofty on us, and what are we cheering on the sidelines for you to accomplish overall?
My goal is to play a PGA Tour event and make the cut. You know, I'm being as realistic as possible while maintaining delusional optimism. My goal isn't to be the world's number one or even to, you know, have a PGA Tour card for 20 years or something. I mean, I want to play in a PGA Tour event, and I want to play on the weekend.
Uh-huh. I think that you've just created the name of this show, from deliberate practice to delusional optimism.
But, you know, I mean, with anything in life, you kind of have to maintain that.
Sure.
Because there's always going to be people that want to beat you down. And,
oh, absolutely.
And there's going to, every day, especially in golf, you know, you can go out and shoot your best round ever one day, and the next day you go out and shoot an 85. You know, it's just crazy, but you can't focus on the negative. You have to maintain optimism. And at some points you honestly just have to be a little bit delusional in your optimism.
Well, then let me share a little story with you. When I had a job, and I haven't had a job since 1986, but I was production director of a radio station, and part of my job, I was very lucky. For over 3 years, I was John Madden's recording engineer. You know, the football coach?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when Madden was the coach of the Oakland Raiders, he would do these pep talks before the game, and he would always end his pep talk with, "Don't worry about the horse being blind, just load the wagon." And some guys would get all, you know, fired up and jump up and down and beat their lockers and scream, "Yeah, load the wagon, great." And other guys would just kind of have this deer in the headlights blank stare on their look, like, what does that mean? And one day, while we were talking about that, you know, and we would record for about a half hour and then we'd talk for 2.5 hours. I got in so much trouble for this, but it was so inspirational to work with this guy. So this woman walked in and we said, "What does this mean? Don't worry about the horse being blind, just load the wagon." And she said, "Oh, well, what's the point of loading the wagon? The horse is blind." And she walked out of the room and he looked at me and said, "See what I mean? Some people get it, some people don't." And basically his message is, and I'm trying to reiterate what you were saying, is that when you have an idea and that you believe in it, whatever obstacles get in your way, just work around them. Just, you know, stay focused on what your goal is. And if you have to drag the damn horse, just drag it. you know, or the wagon, whatever it is, and you have to do it. Because there are people all along the way, and as somebody who's come up with different ideas and turned them into businesses, this is going to happen to you. People are going to go, oh, yeah, that's not going to work. Yeah, you know why that's not going to work? And my favorite is, you know what you should do? You know, you're sitting there thinking about this all the time. This is your primary thought in life. And morning, noon, and night, you're thinking about it. Like you said, you're dreaming about it. And people are, you tell somebody that your story, and the first thing they say is, yeah, you know what you should do? Yeah, like I hadn't thought about that, right?
Yeah.
So, I'm just being a curmudgeon here, and I apologize. I encourage you to do this wholeheartedly, and if you were my kid, I'd say, go for it. Do it. Just have a backup plan just in case. But it's true. You just got to go for it and believe what you're going to do. And, I wish you all the luck in the world.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You know, and I mean, everything in life is impossible until somebody does it. So,
yeah. Why not you?
Oh, I mean, you know, why not anybody? That's, you know, just go for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, these are tough days to find sponsors, my boy.
I'm not. I mean, you know, it would be nice to have somebody to help out to, you know, just to, so I can make sure I can keep it going. But, you know, I'm not like. Yeah. Doing this for money or anything.
Well, you know, you've definitely set it up where you're getting press, obviously, from not even counting what we're doing, but you know, the Chicago Tribune's not a bad piece of exposure, and you've got a nice looking website that allows people to follow it through your blog and your videos. I thought the videos were really entertaining.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
So you're not doing this all on your own. You have somebody producing this content for you?
There was, but we couldn't find a sponsor to keep it going. So
yeah,
we kind of
it costs money to do that, huh?
Yeah. Well, you know, they want to do it, and I guess that's a production company. That's what they do. They produce something and then try to sell it. But they're pretty busy.
Yeah. Well, nice graphics and stuff, and they did it. They did a real fine job on it. I was really impressed.
Yeah, definitely. And we still have, you know, 42 of those episodes up for, you know, anybody who's new. There's a lot of content to check out.
Yeah. Yeah, and is that the coach you are working with that is on the videos, or you're not working with anymore?
That was my former coach. Mm-hmm. I actually just made a switch in the last couple of weeks.
Oh, okay. So you got a new coach. So hopefully we'll get to meet the coach on video too.
Definitely.
You know, why don't you just get one of those GoPro cams and slap it onto your cap, and during your lesson, you'll just be able to see him. You don't have to look at you, but.
Yeah, there's actually, as far as production, there's some really exciting news I just can't quite talk about now, but still, you know, soon, I'll call you as soon as
yes, please,
as the
keep
word
me updated.
Is unpaid.
Yeah, keep me updated, and we'll look, so how can we find you and follow your quest?
TheDamnPlan.com, that's the website, and then Twitter, it's @TheDamnPlan, and Facebook is TheDamnPlanGolf. check it out. Apparently there's already another The Dan Plan on Facebook, so I had to do the Dan Plan Golf. But
have you always been Dan, or were you Danny growing up? And
I was Danny growing up. I'm still Danny to half the people I know in life, and I'm Dan to half the people, and then let's put it 40% call me Danny, 40% call me Dan, then 20% call me Plan.
Plan. Those are athletes. The athletes would love that. They call me Freddie. Whenever I come across athletes, say, hey, Freddie. I never said my name was Freddie. Oh, no, dude, you're Freddie. You know? He's the plan. He's the plan.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. All right, well, best of luck, man. And thanks so much for sharing your story with us. It's compelling. It's interesting. And it's something I think that we all, you know, dream about. You know, having an average score of 69 is something we all dream about, but being able to dedicate yourself to something like that is really admirable.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, and let's chat down the road.
Congratulations to Golf Smarter members David Saperstein of Phoenix, Arizona, and Michael Ross of Winfield, West Virginia. Thank you for renewing your Golf Smarter membership this week. You two are each going to receive a free 30-count bottle of Alpha Brain by Onnit Labs. Alpha Brain for mental dominance. Up next And I have received so many requests about this one, so I finally got to it. And I do get to them when I get the requests, I promise. We're going to have two episodes with the inventor of the Aimpoint putting system, Mr. Mark Sweeney. Now, Mark is not a PGA touring professional, a certified instructor. He's a guy like me who loves golf and wanted to figure out how he can help people. And so he had this formula to predict the exact path of a putt. And then he developed it for TV, and now you've seen it, right? On the Golf Channel and various golf tournaments on television where you can see the exact line of the putt. That's his idea. Then he turned it into a curriculum, and now there are PGA Tour pros and more than 120 teachers worldwide who are swearing by it. You'll get to hear about it in detail from conception to current in the next two episodes. Also, there's a new video that we just posted up on the YouTube channel, Golf Smarter TV. And in only 3 minutes, actually in under 3 minutes, you're going to get a tee tour of the El Tigre course in Nueva Vallarta, Mexico. And the course's head professional, PGA Tour Mexico player, Francisco Salazar, is going to show us how to play with confidence from a fairway bunker and how to make solid contact when the ball is above your feet. This is video, and it's less than 3 minutes. It's Golf Smarter TV. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, I'd love to hear it. Please click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.
Smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.